You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good Monday morning to you. Mike McMahon for a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Another weekend, another shooting in a church or synagogue. So we'll get to hear the dissecting of some other lost soul's life and how put upon they are and when they live in this soft culture of ours and have all these assets, everybody waiting to help them, and somehow or other they believe that taking a weapon and shooting defenseless people is the answer to their issues. And why, even though there was signs, nobody said anything, nobody did anything. So, I don't know the story, I just have seen it too many times. So, happened this time, 90 minutes from me in Poway, California. I used to live there, right adjacent to Poway, a 9-iron from Poway, if you will. And, so it happens again. And, unbelievable, honestly. I whether it's Sri Lanka or a synagogue or a church, you know, how it makes sense to somebody that I need to go kill innocent people, right? That's what we're about. I mean, stunning. Anyway, good Monday morning to you. And big day today. I get a chance to interview commanding general of Task Force Southwest. So you'll hear that interview here in about 55 minutes. So Brigadier General Dale Alford joins us this morning from Afghanistan. So you'll hear an interview with him, and we'll talk to him about how things are going and the peace process is going there. For those of us that have served there, the security situation there, what is it like? You know, to the extent that he could tell us, what do you guys do? What are his thoughts? And Dale has been there before a few times. So what are his thoughts on the Afghanistan that he sees and his thoughts on the future? What about after a peace deal? What does that look like? And then I'm not sure that he'll comment on it, but I'll ask him about his thoughts on discipline. Quite the subject in the Marine Corps these days, based on a program General Furness is going to institute in 2nd Marine Division. And so we will we'll talk about that today, or we won't talk about that. We'll see if he cares to comment on it. I have yet to see another general officer comment in public about it, which, you know, doesn't surprise me. I don't think it's a very good statement about them as a group, that something that the entire Marine Corps is discussing goes without public comment by a general officer in the Marine Corps. But it's a curious group. It's a curious group. And so anyway, but we'll talk to him today. So I'm looking forward to that. I did not know this, but he has participated in combat operations at every rank he's ever held, starting at second lieutenant, which is amazing. I've never heard of that in my life. I've heard of guys who commanded at every level, but not at every rank. So there's like sub, so you would command as a platoon commander, you'd command as a company commander. There'd be years between those, right? There would be, you'd command as a lieutenant colonel, a colonel. So, I mean, I've heard guys do that. But not be involved as a first lieutenant, a major, right? And every time you held a rank, you're involved in something. So anyway, odd to say the least. What a career! Not sure his family appreciates it, but what the hell? But anyway, it's cool because I've had, you know, given the number of people I know, most of them now were students of mine that are between the rank of colonel and major general. And so, actually, Brigadier General is the most senior one that I've seen. Came up to me at the General Officer Symposium. Mac, the last time I saw you was at IOC in 1991. I'm like, holy shit. Obviously, I did something right to get you to become a general. Yeah, you did. So, no, that's fun stuff. So we'll get a chance to talk to him. But my point was, I've had people, you know, say, oh, yeah, I'll do it. But then they get a little nervous. And, you know, I don't tend to ask as an interviewer. I tend to ask more understanding where they can and can't go and not wanting to put them on the spot. I don't go to those places that your basic media person would go because I know they wouldn't comment on it. And they wouldn't appreciate being put on the spot. But I think if you do it the right way, you can still get to those issues. I think you have to be an adroit interviewer. So, but nonetheless, guys say they'll come on. Oh, yeah. And then they never do. So excited that General Alford will come on. From the one place Marine Corps still, you know, on a regular basis, actively involved in combat operations. So anyway, excited about that. So you'll hear that this morning. And There's a couple of stories in the news, other than the thing in Poway, that caught my eye. One is headline: South China Sea tensions erupt as U.S. destroyers make illegal move through the Taiwan Strait. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I mean, this stuff is just straight up stupid. And let me tell you, it's not going to get better. The U.S. military said it sent two U.S. Navy destroyers through the Taiwan Strait on Sunday as the Pentagon increases the frequency of movement through the strategic waterway, despite opposition from China. The voyage risked further raising tensions with China, but will likely be viewed by self-ruled Taiwan as a sign of support from the Trump administration and growing friction between Taipei and Beijing. Taiwan is one of a growing number of flashpoints in the U.S.-China relationship, which also include a trade war, U.S. sanctions, and Chinese increasing muscular military posture in the South China Sea, where the United States also conducts freedom of navigation patrols. Two destroyers were identified as the William P. Lawrence and the Streatham. The 112-mile-wide Taiwan Straits. Yeah, you heard that. So, I think international law recognized 12-mile territorial limit. The thing's 112 miles wide. And the Chinese have a problem with people driving ships through what is free water, free and open water. Anyway, so that's one story. The other story is something out of the page of the Russians that caught my eye. And so let me find it here real quick. Here's this terrible story. The Yazidis, right, live in Syria, Iraq, part of the world. That tribe has been, you know, pummeled by ISIS. They will accept ISIS rape survivors, but not their children. How about that? How about that for a headline? Yeah. Absolutely brutal. So it's an article in CNBC. And the headline reads, U.S. reportedly warns China over over non-hostile, non-naval vessels in the South China Sea. The head of the U.S. Navy warned China that hostile behavior from its Coast Guard and fishing boats will not be treated any differently from the Chinese Navy, the Financial Times reported on Saturday. What does that remind you of? So here's the Financial Times article. U.S. warns China on aggressive acts by fishing boats and Coast Guard. And so this reminds you of the little green man, yes? Yes. Admiral John Richardson, head of the U.S. Navy, said he told his Chinese counterpart, Vice Admiral Sheng Jinlong, in January that Washington would not treat the Coast Guard or maritime militia, fishing boats that work with the military, differently from the Chinese Navy because they were being used to advance Beijing's military ambitions. Quote, I made it very clear that the U.S. Navy will not be coerced and will not continue to conduct routine and lawful operations and will continue to conduct routine and lawful operations around the world in order to protect the rights, freedoms, and lawful use of the sea, the airspace, and guaranteed that to all, Richardson told the Financial Times. On top of its militarization of artificial islands in the South China Sea, Beijing has deployed paramilitary actors in several incidents involving the U.S., Vietnam, and the Philippines. Chinese fishing boats have rammed vessels, blocked access to lagoons, harassed ships, and been involved in the seizings of reefs and shoals. The maritime militia has been strengthened since 2015 when it created a headquarters in the China-administered Paracel Islands, spelled P-A-R-A-C-E-L, a disputed area in the South China Sea that is also claimed by Vietnam and Taiwan. It has also received training alongside the Chinese Navy and the Coast Guard. In its last annual report on the Chinese Navy, the Pentagon said that the fleet, quote, plays a major role in coercive activities to achieve China's political goal without fighting. China has increasingly used the maritime militia because fishing boats are less likely to prompt a military response from the United States. But the latest warning significantly raises the stakes for China's non-Navy vessels engaging in aggressive acts. So anyway, so the dance goes in the South China Sea. But I thought that pretty interesting in terms of the Chinese pulling a page from the Russian playbook in terms of the little green men posture in that event. The what else is going on this week? The other things in my head today. The I cleaned yesterday. Actually, this is the first this past weekend is the first weekend I haven't, you know, been doing something. Whether it Colleen be here or be out of town. So it was like, wow, I don't have anything to do other than kind of maintain the premises. And let me say something about that. Not the premises, but kind of the premises. Because of the rain, right? I mean, everything has been soaked here for the last couple months, but everything's still incredibly green. I drove up 29 Palms and it was green. Yeah, bushes that are brown, green. What? What is that? And then drove out to Riverside yesterday, right? And the whole Murrieta, Temecula, right? Normally brown, 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 green, green, green. It's crazy. Yeah. So just the desert fauna doesn't look like the desert anymore. But the my backyard has a ton of weeds in it. So, but I still haven't done anything about that yet. But I tightened up the rest of the house. Had a bunch of laundry to do, so I did that. And, which is, I don't know why, but cleaning is therapeutic for me. I'm not sure if it's that way for everybody. Probably not. But for whatever reason, I'm happy when I clean. I go to some happy place and when I do my cleaning. So I did that yesterday and laundry on top of laundry on top of laundry. As this week, I'll go back to D.C. and do post-traumatic winning at the Commanders Conference. So excited to do that. So it'll be an exciting week this week. And so I'll be there on Thursday. So quick trip, fly there Wednesday, come back on Friday. So hopefully see one or both of my sons on probably Thursday night. And so that'll be a good deal. So anyway, all right, we're going to check the news this morning, as is our custom. Good Monday morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes today official. Good morning to you. We'll be right back. is dedicated to people in Poway who've undergone or experienced over the weekend another horrifying event. Certainly our thoughts and prayers are with you, and as you go through a pretty brutal time when violence comes to a place of peace. So, dedicated to them.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
Next comment on the Marine Corps, pretty soft-spoken guy. Yeah, General Berger. Neller, he's kind of more fiery, dragon breather. Berger, not so much. So we'll see how he play. You know, Kamenai's got to play, wear all these hats, right? Got to be the face and take the face shots in front of Congress. Be the official dancer of the Marine Corps when things go not so good. Got to be the motivator in chief. Got to be smart guy. So, anyway, time for us to check the weather. Currently cloudy and 53 in Quantico, where I will be headed here in a couple days. It is cloudy and 64 at Camp Lejeune. It's cloudy and 65 at Marine Corps Base, 29 Palms, the home of the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center, and the sergeants who I spoke to last week of Regimental Combat Team 7. Yeah, that's a pretty cool event. Cloudy and 58 at Camp Pendleton. Dark, cloudy, and 77 in Okinawa, so Okinawa warming up. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is cloudy and 78, so balmy weather continues in Iraq. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, where Julian Dale Alford, who will join us in about approximately 30 minutes, where he plies his craft as the commanding general of Taos Force Southwest. It is sunny and 79 degrees late in the day there at the home of All Marine Radio. The Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is cloudy and 59. Cloudy and 67 today. Clouds and 65 tomorrow. Or tomorrow, as my kids would say at one point, and on Wednesday, partly sunny and 67. So we experienced the joy of summer here, but now we're not experiencing that anymore. So I'm not exactly sure why those things happen. They just do. So anyway, so don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it. We'll check some news headlines. There's a bunch of them. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans. Wave us home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Dun, dun.
I forgot that was in there.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean.
Yeah, I mean, imagine that on a loop in your house, over and over and over. Oh, my God. Peyton Davis, our favorite Nashvillian.
Tears when I reach there, I scream. Yeah.
All right, time to check the news. Not a whole lot of Marine news. Big news last week with the naming of the next Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. And then Monday, unless there's some big international event, right? All the big reporters are off on the weekend, so normally there's not so much. You know, the Marine Corps role in the whole housing thing is kind of being scrutinized, so Marine Corps is not putting out a whole lot of data relative to what it's found in its inspections of all housing, foreign and domestic. No, in all housing, both on base and off base, which is what the commandant said they were going to do. We're not only going to check on base housing, we're going to check on base housing. Well, the big difference is this, Bob. That's the commandant, because we're buddies. The big difference is this. People that live off base, they have options. They can decide not to pay rent and do other things. People living on base, they don't have that option. So we'll see where this goes. We'll see where this goes. But I would tell you that there's not a new Marine Corps news story on the web. Yeah, I'm sorry to say, I'm sorry to break that news to you, but not there. Pentagon's going to send about another 300 troops to the U.S.-Mexican border. The new troops would be in support of roles such as driving buses with detained migrants and providing meals to them. It would also include DOD lawyers helping to process migrants. There are currently about 2,900 active duty troops operating in support of DAS at the border, plus about another 2,000 National Guard troops. A key aspect of the policy governing military involvement in the border has been a prohibition on direct contact with migrants. This is meant to emphasize, which is spelled wrong in the story. Somebody might want to check that. The story reads, this is meant to emphasis, should be emphasized. I know those kind of things, right? That the military is not a law enforcement agency and is not in a law enforcement role down there, right? So anyway, but we're playing politics on the border. Charles Summers is a spokesman for Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan. Said the Acting Secretary of Defense is expected to approve the proposal, which was developed as a response to a call from the Department of Homeland Security for additional military assistance. Summers said the proposal being considered by Shanahan would include an amendment to the current policy to avoid contact with migrants. This would be necessary in order to carry out tasks such as providing meals, legal assistance, and transportation. Quote, we have border patrol stations where they are literally overwhelmed with migrants. So we're merely delineating the fact that we will have some of our troops handing out meals and therefore would come in contact with migrants, Summers said. So that in the news. And this also in the news. Iranian guards used a drone to monitor U.S. carriers in the Persian Gulf. That carrier, the USS Eisenhower. Well, I mean, is that a shock to anybody? Like, hello? Iran's powerful Revolutionary Guards successfully managed a surveillance flight over the U.S. over a U.S. aircraft carrier. The report included footage apparently from a guard drone that flew over the U.S. Dwight D. Eisenhower and another U.S. warship in the Persian Gulf. The images show fighter planes parked on a carrier deck. The news outlet that released the story, TASNIM, has not said when the footage was shot. The development comes after the U.S. government earlier this month designated the guards as a terrorist group to increase pressure on Iran and further isolate the country. Iran responded by labeling all U.S. forces as terrorists. Anyway, according to TASM, the drone that took the footage is in Ababil 3, which is an 8-hour flight capability at 12,000 feet and a 250-mile range. Yeah, you just can't shoot drones out of the sky. Right? So in the rules of the world, right, normally what happens is they're detected on radar and they're escorted. Right? So an unarmed drone is the same as an unarmed aircraft. Right? Can it fly near a ship? Yes. Normally what happens when you intercept fighters or most of the time it's reconnaissance aircraft when you're at sea that come out and take a look. Taking pictures and things like that. You'll see a fighter or two off of either wing. And it's just, we do it up off the coast of Alaska where we'll intercept Soviet reconnaissance aircraft all the time. I'm sure we do it with the Chinese in the South China Sea. I think that, and so it's kind of normal stuff, except now this is a drone doing it. So can they fly over us? Yeah. They can't menace you in terms of if they have weapons and things like that. Then, you know, if they start turning on, you know, weapons radars, then that gives you some indication. And then if they're flying an attack profile, then that's strike two. Then you can shoot them out of the sky. You would have reasonable basis to engage them. But if they're just collecting intelligence, right? Sorry, man, can't do it. Top five stories in early bird. U.S. rolls 100,000 tons of international diplomacy into the Med. Will Russia get the message? Does Russia even care? Here's a question for you. Who wields more power, big aircraft carriers or little green men? Good question, Mac. Little green men are way more dangerous than aircraft carriers. Because you know what? We never really get to the aircraft carrier point. The Russians know this. A commercial airline pilot has a lot of leeway on landing. Airport runways are long and wide, and the flight crew has time to get things just right before setting the wheels down gently. On an aircraft carrier, this is not the case. 1 minute you're flying, and the next moment, before your body can work out what it is enduring, you are not. Defense News experienced a carrier landing firsthand on April 23rd, hitting the deck of the Abraham Lincoln aboard a C-2A Greyhound with U.S. Ambassador to Russia John Huntsman and Admiral James Fogo, commander of U.S. Naval Forces Europe. The purpose of the visit was twofold: to kick off a due carrier experience with sister ship John C. Stennis on April 24th, and to deliver a sternly worded message to Russia, stand down. Each of the carriers operating in the Mediterranean at this time represents 100,000 tons of international diplomacy, Huntsman said aboard the Lincoln, according to the Navy news release. Diplomatic communications and dialogue, coupled with strong defenses these ships provide, demonstrate to Russia that if it truly seeks better relations with the United States, it must cease destabilizing activities around the world. Moscow received the message loud and clear, and though the response was predictable, at least publicly, it may not be the one Huntsman and Fogo were hoping for. Quote, I would like to believe that the American megaphone diplomacy will not turn into megaton diplomacy, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybakov said, because in that case, there would be no winners, and American diplomats will regret how they failed to find opportunities for normal, constructive dialogue with partners around the world. We regret the U.S. ambassador in Russia made such a statement. So there you have it. So anyway, there's and it's kind of remember we talked about the Navy's under General Mattis, getting out of the predictable pattern of deployments that they've really run for decades, and so kind of surge deployments. So pretty amazing, pretty amazing. So that's the top story in Early Bird this morning. Number two, Representative Adam Kinzinger says he's open to the U.S. Air Force Secretary job. Now, you may not recognize the name, but you will know the face, right? If the president, quote, if the president would determine I would be the candidate, the person he wanted to lead the Air Force, I would certainly strongly consider it. Kinzinger is a Republican from Illinois. He's a representative, in the, obviously, in the U.S. House of Representatives. Made a statement in an interview with Fox News on Sunday. Quote, I like my job now, he said. New generation of leadership would be great for the service, and that as a member he understood the pilot shortage that the Air Force is facing. But I know the president is going to make a great decision. There's a lot of great people, but it's a very transitional time for the Air Force. It would be an honor to be considered. He's 41 years old, a veteran of the Iraq War. He recently deployed with the Air National Guard to the U.S.-Mexican border. Heather Wilson announced that she will resign at the end of May to become president of the University of Texas, El Paso. Nobody else had a comment on it. So, anywho, so that in the news. I told you it was a slow news weekend. Number three story in the Early Bird is Air Force investigating airmen's alleged ties to a white nationalist group. This, again, these stories are really astounding in that here's a story about a lone individual in the military because of his social media ties. You know, I mean, it's amazing that, that a single member of the military breaks, squelch, and is in the news. But that's the way it is. A master sergeant at Shriver Air Force Base in Colorado Springs has been accused of being a member of a white nationalist group by a local anti-fascist group, and the Air Force is investigating. Master Sergeant Corey Reeves of the 50th Space Wing at Shriver is a member of the Identity, I think it's Europa, but it's spelled with a V, E-V, Evropa, the group. But you've seen that Identity Europa in the stories about Antifa, because this is one of the groups that fights Antifa. Reeves also allegedly posted white supremacist propaganda in Colorado on several occasions, posted. Reeves also serves as an organizer with the group and is a, quote, patron member, contributing more monthly dues to the group than regular members pay, the anti-fascist group said. Interesting. So, but again, what's to me astounding is that's a story about one lone person in the DOD. Yeah, some mass are in it because of how, you know, those stories trend. Racism, any kind of homophobic event, transgender event, those stories go right to the headlines, the social justice element of our media. Honestly, on a regular basis, it's astounding to watch that those stories on a daily basis go right to the top. Number four, there's a new general in charge of the Army's efforts to revamp basic training and fitness. Yeah, the Army trying to get rough and tough. Major General Malcolm Frost, who is set to retire later this year, handed over leadership of the Center for Initial Military Training to Brigadier General Lonnie Hibbard in a ceremony at Joint Base Langley Eustis in Virginia. live stream via the command on Facebook. Hibbard is a career pilot. Coming in from almost 2 years as the director of operations and operation plans and training at TRADOC. TRADOC is the agency in the Army that puts out all Army doctrine. Quote, the source of power of the United States Army is soldiers, the young recruits, America's sons and daughters who volunteer to join our Army. IMT, I don't know what that is, initial military training, is the foundation of training civilian volunteers to simply be the best soldiers on earth. One of the fears I have changing out was the gap that might occur, Frost said. There was a fear that momentum we gained was going to stop, but that won't happen, Hibbard said. Quote, we will be at a walk, if not a run, phase because of what he knows and understands and what he's been a part of. Frost is a 1988 graduate of West Point, career infantryman, took command of CIMT in July of 2017 following an incident at the Pentagon. His first order of business as a review was a review of the Army's entire initial training, and what he found was a host of leaders at the ground level concerned that the freshly minted soldiers reported to their units were undisciplined and out of shape. Uh-oh, there's that D word. Discipline. Oh, we don't like that. A host of changes followed. In 2018, this is the outgoing, right? This is the outgoing general. Frost led an overhaul of Army basic training at Fort Jackson in South Carolina, which included more Army history and drill and ceremony designed to instill the understanding of what it means to be a professional soldier. Drill is scorned upon now. You'll have older officers tell you, you want to see a unit change in a heartbeat? Start doing drill. I kid you not. Why? Somebody's clearly in charge. That's important. And it requires immediate, right, obeying of orders. Kid you not. But scorned upon now. There was also more land navigation, a higher fitness standard, and double the time spent on radio communication training. Then, he did away with advanced individual training platoon sergeants, bringing back drill sergeants to the program for more continuity with basic training. Then increasing the ratio of drill sergeants to trainees across initial individual training and adding lieutenants to take pressure off the overworked cadre. And, of course, with changes to the Army Combat Fitness Test, 6 events measuring strength, agility, and other skills went from the pilot to the field testing phases, with a rollout scheduled for the fall of 2020. We now have the resources, the article goes on to say. We are not under-resourced. I think that we are not undervalued anymore. We're still a little misunderstood, but that's okay. I think we've closed the gap. Well, let me just tell you, those things that they just discussed in and of themselves, right? More drill sergeants, having a lieutenant there, which is akin to a series commander. I don't want to say that they may have taken a look at the way Marine Corps does it, but they might have. Higher fitness standards, right? More supervision by more senior people. That can only do good things for the Army. So well done. I applaud the effort. The last story here is a sad story, and the headline is something needs to change. Mom says a baby girl who died at a babysitter's daycare on base. The mother of a seventh a 7-month-old baby who died at a babysitter's home reported for unauthorized and unlicensed caregiving in Hawaii military housing says officials need to take to make changes to ensure children are protected. Quote, I had no idea the caregiver was being reported for neglect. I only found out that day outside the house waiting for police to release me from the scene. That was on February 24th, the day her child died at the daycare on the Ala Moana Military Reservation. The baby's father is a member of the Army National Guard. Neighbors told her what they had reported previously to authorities. Quote, if I'd known that all those things had happened, I felt so upset. If I had known that there were reports of neglect, I would have taken my children out so fast. Abigail would be alive today. I wanted my children to be safe. That was my main priority. 2 months after Abigail's death, the incident is still under investigation by the Honolulu Police Department, which has classified it as an unattended death. No charges have been filed. No one is placing blame on the caregiver. Attempts by military times to reach her have been unsuccessful. Sources say that the caregiver and her family have moved off the installation. Following the incident, the Army launched an investigation into child care authorizations and procedures on the Hawaii base, and it is ongoing. A neighbor who lived near the home where the child died said the death came 4 days after she filed a complaint alleging the provider, a Navy wife, was operating an unlicensed daycare that had been shut down at least 3 times by base officials who allegedly found violations. The daycare is in privatized housing at Ala Moana Military Reservation, part of the... So it gets shut down 3 times? That's brutal. That's brutal. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear Brigadier General Dale Alford, the Commanding General of Task Force Southwest. So whatever you do on this Monday morning, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it. The All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.